News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Time now, 3:35 p.m. at March the 2nd. It's a Wednesday hump day. We are there. Through with number one. I mean, I'm number one of the Triple Dipper. I've spent some time talking about the State of the Union. We're moving into the next piece of the Triple Dipper now, Ukraine. What now? What next? And I'm going to take a caller here in 1 second. But Copper, just be aware, I put a note up on the board for you about an audio clip I plan to use here in just a minute. So if you grab that and get her ready. But let me do this. Copper, I know Bob from Athens hung on during the break, and I really appreciate that. So let me just jump straight to it and grab Bob, line five. Hey, Bob, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing today?
Yeah, it kind of has to do with the State of the Union, with all the House members, well, most of them, not having masks and not seeming to social distance. Does that mean that the pandemic is over so that they don't have to have proxy voting in the House anymore?
One would hope so. I mean, proxy voting is ridiculous. But, Bob, isn't it kind of funny how the science changed?
Kind of like we even had the impeachment by proxy, you know.
Oh yeah, it's but isn't it amazing the timing of this though, Bob? I mean, apparently the science all changed. The CDC came out with new guidance. The Speaker of the House gave new rules on masking and social distancing, all within about 24 to 48 hours of the Speaker or the State of the Union speech.
Well,
Bob, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for hanging on during the break. Your point is well taken. All right, listen, I'm moving to number two on the Triple Dipper, you guys. Ukraine, what now? What next? There's a lot of stuff happening. You know, not the least of which is the fact that the president of Ukraine has become an international sensation. I mean, the guy's a rock star right now. And I said the other day, I don't know what he is going to wind up being like when he has the opportunity to govern in peace again, because not every peacetime leader is as, you know, is as solid and well-respected as they are when they're a wartime leader, and vice versa. I made the comment the other day in one of my monologues about Andrew Jackson. I mean, that man was a whirling dervish when he was, you know, in arms. And he even said himself, I was born for the storm, and a calm does not suit me. But at the same time, you know, Volodymyr Zelensky is the president of Ukraine, and people are looking at him and going, wow, who's this guy? So in a minute, I'm going to play you this clip, and it's going to be right at about a two-minute clip, but it's basically who is Volodymyr Zelensky. So we'll get that for you here in just a minute. But let me just tell you, some things are happening right now that are fairly epic, not the least of which is that the fighting has really ramped up. Now, there are places where it's still stalled, but this is a sure enough fight, all right? This is a war, and we're seeing right now, depending upon who you believe, the Ukrainians and some Western analysts are saying that upwards of 5,000 to 6,000 Russian troops have been killed or captured. Don't know if it's true or not. Russian media finally did say something, and I believe their announcement was 498. Big disparity, you can imagine. But nonetheless, it does not appear to be moving like one would have expected a Russian army to move. Just during the break, I was literally watching as General Jack Keane was on Fox. I got it here on the big screen in the studio, and he was talking about this, and he said, and I'll never, this is amazing to me because I kept thinking, am I missing something? I mean, I've been out of uniform for a few years, but none of that seems to make sense. You've got this 40-mile convoy stretched out, coming towards Kyiv, and they're really not moving. It's almost like a 40-mile parking lot. And he pointed out, he said, in all his years in the military, he's never seen anything like this. He said, this is not the way you do tactical movements. And granted, if you're doing a true movement to contact, which is what they're in a potential movement to contact, which is just a phrase given to, you know, moving with wartime caution, knowing that you have a chance of contact with the enemy. If you're in a movement to contact, like you're literally aggressing forward with the intent of making contact with the enemy, you don't line up ducks in a row, sometimes three abreast, blocking the entire road. And by the way, he pointed out, and I agree, that it appears that this is a roadbound convoy. They're oftentimes not able to move off the roads because of heavy woods or bridges and rivers. And at the same time, there's, you know, a lot of soft ground because they're coming out of a heavy winter. And so the tracked vehicles are having trouble apparently in some of the off-the-road areas. And he pointed out, he said, in a U.S. military convoy, you would have tactical checkpoints. You would have phased operations. You would have control factors that keep the flow of traffic moving at a certain rate. You would stagger your logistics into your combat trains. You would leave one lane of traffic open so that you could run supplies to and from the front and rear of the convoy. But right now, they're just like sitting there, blocking everything, and we're hearing conflicting reports about whether or not they have the ability to do the things that they say that they're to do. Meanwhile, the fighting has intensified. The mayor of the Ukrainian port city of Mariupol, which is down in the south on the Black Sea near Odessa, reported mass casualties. There have been some serious shelling of Mariupol. Now, that's I believe, the city, smaller city on the way to Odessa, which is the major port city on the Black Sea in the southern part of Ukraine. Now, that's, I believe the troops that are advancing on that are coming in by sea and through the Crimean Peninsula, which basically the Russians control both. They're coming out of friendly territory, but they've been literally impeded by heavy resistance and choke points on the ground. Then you've got the troops moving out of the Donetsk region in the eastern side of the country. That's the breakaway sections that Russia has claimed are now independent republics of Donetsk. It's the Donbass region, I'm sorry, of Donetsk and Luhansk. And yet they're really not moving much out of that. That is where Kharkiv, I believe, which is the second largest city, is. And they've been enduring some relentless shelling the last couple of days. The mayor of Kharkiv is saying that they've had, I think it was 21 dead and quite a few wounded in shelling there overnight. But yet, to this point, we don't see Russian troops seizing and controlling major population centers. It's, no one can explain it. President Zelensky also, you know, in his, you know, in his ability to communicate with the world, which he is, and he's apparently a great communicator. He made his career in, you know, broadcast and having a communications kind of background. He's an entrepreneur, but he's been communicating things as he sees them, and some of those things are what I would call populist in nature. Now, he himself, President Zelensky, is Jewish. He has grandparents, I believe, who had survived Nazi death camps. So the very idea that Putin calls this a Nazi-based government that needs to be overthrown, well, you've got a Jewish president whose grandparents survived the death camps by the Nazis, and you're calling this a Nazi government? That makes no sense. But Zelensky, story here on Fox that I grabbed, gives you an indication of what's being said. He talks about the fact that the Russian missile attacks in Kyiv hit the Holocaust Memorial and destroyed it. And in Zelensky's words, he said, "This is beyond humanity. Such a missile strike means that for many Russians, our Kyiv is absolutely foreign. They know nothing about our capital, about our history. They have orders to erase our history, our country, and all of us." He says, "Russian mothers are losing their children in an absolutely foreign country for them." And then he goes on to say that in their estimation, upwards of 6,000 Russians have died. Now, keep in mind, as this goes on, right now, over 2,000 civilians in Ukraine have been killed. Half a million or more are refugees. And estimates, depending upon who you look at, are at 500 to 6,000 Russian troops have died. Infrastructure is being hit and targeted, and it's quite the event. Now, how are we feeling this back home? We're feeling it. Story off of Fox Business just this morning. Oil prices surged to $110 per barrel despite the release of supplies. If you remember last night in the State of the Union, President Biden said, "And to go ahead and, you know, make things better, I'm working with other countries to release a portion of our strategic oil reserves." Well, you know what? Why are we releasing strategic reserves when we could pump new crude and keep that strategic reserve in case we actually needed it? We're buying oil from Russia. We're using up our reserves. We have the ability to just turn on the tap and get back to work with our oil and gas production on our own. But it points out that literally The base price of oil has gone up another $5 per barrel just since the agreement was announced to release strategic reserves. So that's a clear indication that it's not having the impact that the president thought it would. Well, I want to do this before I go to the break. I got this clip. Copper, you ready on clip three? You good to go? So listen, clip three, Copper, highlight that for me if you're good. Okay, good. Thank you. Clip three, they did a little brief expose or kind of a narrative on who is this guy running Ukraine. Who is Volodymyr Zelensky? And I thought it was interesting enough to where instead of just doing critical analysis on military movements and troop deaths and, you know, infrastructure and oil prices, I thought, let's just take a second and let's hear who this guy is that's galvanizing the world. So, Copper, go ahead and play clip three.
Here in the past week has certainly been stark. Remember, just 24 hours before the invasion, news organizations and others were doubting if he was the right man to lead during a war. Now, partly that's because of his background in entertainment that you mentioned. Some thought he may be a political lightweight. But now, 1 week into this war, Zelensky is proving to be anything but.
From the ballroom to an active war zone, President Volodymyr Zelensky is once again back in the spotlight. But now the stakes are much higher.
We are fighting for our rights, for our freedoms, for our life.
Zelensky is still in the capital city of Kyiv, as satellite images show the Russian army encroaching with a convoy some 40 miles long.
I'm here. We won't lay down arms. We will defend our country.
The political newcomer is using social media to inspire Ukrainians to fight and push Western leaders to punish Russia for killing innocent civilians.
We call on all countries of the world to immediately and firmly react to such criminal tactics by the aggressor and declare that Russia is carrying out state terrorism.
The 44-year-old leader was born to Jewish parents, something that contradicts Vladimir Putin's claims of neo-Nazis leading Ukraine.
Zelensky does not hide the fact that in 1941 and 42, the Nazis killed about half of his family. This whole Nazi thing coming out of the Kremlin is just completely absurd.
After earning a law degree in 2000, Zelensky founded one of Ukraine's most successful entertainment studios.
You're good looking.
Like in movie.
It pays the rent.
He's the voice of Paddington Bear in Ukraine's version of the film. He played Ukraine's president in a popular TV show called Servant of the People.
He's a smart guy. I mean, we always say comedian, but you could also call him a media entrepreneur. I mean, he built up a big multi-million dollar enterprise.
Zelensky is now building a resistance that could save his country from an authoritarian takeover.
His life very much in danger. Ukrainian defense officials say two Chechen groups trying to kill Zelensky.
Well, go ahead and stop it there, Copper, because I know we're running low on time. But listen, what that's just telling you is what kind of person it is. And I hope you recognize, too, there were folks who said interesting things about President Trump, right? Like, you know, he was that guy that starred in a reality show. He's just been a businessman. He doesn't have political experience. Which one would you rather have in office right now? Oh, yeah. All that to say, I think it's interesting to see who is running the show right now and galvanizing the world and inspiring his people. Because like I said earlier in the show during my monologue, words matter. And the right person with the right time, with the right delivery of the right content can make a difference. And so far, Volodymyr Zelensky appears to be that man. God bless him. All right, Copper, move us to the break we got to take, and we will come right back, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. A little bit more on Ukraine, just keeping you up to date on some of the latest happenings. We will not let this story alone. It is too important. It is the biggest story of our decade. Hang in there. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Finishing up a little bit of time here on what the going-ons are in Ukraine. I'm calling this section of the Triple Dipper, Ukraine, what now, what next? Well, one thing that came out most recently is we know that Belarus, which if you're looking at the map, you've got Ukraine. Just picture Texas, basically, and just to the east of this Texas-sized country of Ukraine, you've got, of course, Russia, and then the southern part of Ukraine has been annexed by Russia, called the Crimean Peninsula on the Black Sea and all that. Anyway, up in the northern side, though, you got a country called Belarus, and Belarus has got no business being involved in this, but they allowed this huge staging of Russian troops. I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 30,000 Russian troops were staged in Belarus. Allegedly, they moved there up front for a military exercise. Sure they did. Well, no, that was an invasion staging point. Well, the president of Belarus is basically he's a Russian stooge. And he has now, as of yesterday, I believe, he declared war on Ukraine in solidarity with his Russian masters in Russia. Well, a weird thing happened. So I've only seen the story one time, and I've tried to find the actual photograph, but I've not been able to see it. But the report on Fox this morning, it says the Belarus president Lukashenko appears to stand in front of a map of a planned Moldova state invasion. In other words, it appeared that when he did a recent address on TV, he stood in front of a map that in essence may well have been supposedly a classified or a military maneuver map. It says in the report here, at today's Security Council meeting, Lukashenko showed what looked like an actual invasion map. It showed Ukraine military facilities destroyed by missiles from Belarus, attack directions. Also, Ukraine divided up into four sectors, and then Moldova, which is another one of those former Soviet states on Ukraine's southern border, it showed troop movements into Moldova. Well, that's not happening right now, and ain't nobody saying much about it. But literally, that's basically as if there is a plan for more outside of Ukraine's borders. So more to come on that one. But yeah, that's one of those weird stories you find kind of on the sidelines of the big news of what's happening in Ukraine. One of the things that happened today, by the way, is there were several votes in regards to the situation in Ukraine. One of those votes took place in our Congress. All right. So we've got a vote taken in Congress today that I believe was near unanimous to stand in solidarity, except that there were three Republicans who did not want to stand in solidarity, or for reasons that are unexplained in the article that I've got, they chose not to. So I don't get it. Why would you not? But right now, the House has passed a resolution to stand by the people of Ukraine, and only Republican Representatives Thomas Massie, Matt Rosendale, and Paul Gosar voted no. So at a vote of 426-3, for whatever it's worth, I'm not sure if it does anything or not except just say solidarity, the House passed a resolution to stand by the Ukrainian people. What that means, I don't know. The other thing that happened today, though, was in the United Nations. So a very large gathering of the EU to consider, you know, the overall factors of what's happening. Hang on, there's a breaking news. All right, breaking news in the last 48 seconds just posted on Fox's continual updates. Kherson becomes the first major Ukrainian city to fall to the Russian invasion. Okay. Well, a minute ago I said that no major population centers had been taken, but it appears that as of 1 minute ago, breaking news you're hearing right now on Right Side Radio, Kherson, a southern Ukrainian city, has fallen to Russian forces, becoming the first major city now to fall to Russia since the invasion was launched. Kherson's mayor, Igor Kolyokhev, said Wednesday that there is no Ukrainian army here. The city is now surrounded, and apparently they have now moved in. It's a city of 300,000 people, so it's pretty large. It's near the Black Sea, strategically important because it's close to Odessa. So as Russian forces are beginning to move their way towards the major port city of Odessa, they appear to have now captured a city of 300,000 people called Kherson in the southern region near the Black Sea. All right, so I hate to hear that, but there you go. Last thing I'm going to tell you is the vote in the EU today. It was a major vote, not EU, but the UN. It was a major vote designed to show world solidarity with Ukraine and to rebuke what is happening in the war there. They passed this, and China abstained. So that's significant because China is apparently standing by – and watching this happen with no intent of being what he would call a good actor on the world stage. Keep your eyes on China. That could be bad. All right, folks, listen. There's your quick update on Ukraine. We're going to come back after the top of the hour news, and we've got Copper's Corner. Copper's got her own perspective on things, and then we'll hit number three on the Triple Dipper. Democrats are running from their own words on defund the police. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.